Carl Herman, Mission Viejo, California. Brian Davidson, Houston, Texas. Need to know news. Friday, December 22nd, 2023. Let's go ahead and take a look at the topics, then have an opening statement. All right. Start out with a meme about how propaganda gets normalized. We're going to the war. We're going to COVID. We're going to the Colorado Supreme Court. Dictate of Trump guilt without charges, trial, or conviction. Official optics. And then we're going to take a look at the bigger picture of how many great resets we've had and who might be in behind that all. And a fascinating presentation of evidence that I'll attempt to summarize in good faith. And would be fascinated to hear what Brian would have to say about it. Brian, any opening statement you want to make for context of today's presentation?
Yeah, just, I don't know if it's the holiday season or if it's the economy or what, but, you know, my company takes a lot of calls from the general public. And I field those calls because I want to make a decision about what type of work we take on and what type of client we take on. So I'm taking anywhere from 2 to 5, maybe more, a day of inbound calls from the general public, people wanting me to look into this or look into that. And I don't know what's going on here, but maybe it's the holidays, maybe it's the moon phases, maybe it's the economy, but there is an uptick in crazy. To the point where I'm nervous about meeting anybody without a gun on my hip anymore. I'm seeing more and more schizophrenia. I'm seeing more and more people, sometimes it's a underdeveloped schizophrenia. It's sort of a first phase sort of stuff. And sometimes it's really well developed. And of course, my job is to try to divide it up and decide what's legit and what's not when I hear crazy stories. And if I hear schizophrenia on the other end of the line, I'm pretty much going to respond with $20,000 or more just to start your investigation, which is how I get rid of them without telling them no. But I'm getting all sorts of people that are just wanting to do whatever to get out of their insanity. I mean, they'll pay everything they've got. They'll trade everything in the kitchen cabinet to get out of their insanity. And I don't know what's going on, but it's getting deep. It's getting hard out there for people. And I feel for our communities. I feel for our societies and the kids and the mental illness that's going around. You know, sometimes I think it's brought on by drugs, meth, you know, something like that. But it's definitely, there is some sort of weird thing happening out there that I'm seeing more and more of that I've never seen before.
Strongly stated, brother. Thank you. And I'm with you that the presence of that energy that we can measure. We were chatting before the show of Cliff High. Now, I hope I don't butcher the understanding of what Cliff does or he claims to do. And people claim to verify it. I haven't looked deeply at it, but taking a look at language over the web and being able to predict emotional events or events that would play out strongly based upon the measurement of those of that language. But it is going to cause something to break. I keep pointing to the money, and that it is crazy that people are accepting United States debt securities given the rampant and hidden inflation of printing money. And the UAE now is not accepting US dollars for oil payment. When this goes, it's going to go in a moment, and it could go literally. That's how I feel about it and have said. Let's go on to the news. I think I appropriately communicated it would be a big deal when it does go. All right, let's start with a meme. So is this how propaganda works? Teacher, draw the sky with the sun and clouds. maybe that's a start.
Something to be said about that. That's what it looks like most of the time.
Yeah. We're sprayed like bugs. We're not in control down here. And I'll point to that at the very end. It's like we're outmatched down here. And it is, even though it's in our faces. I mean, literally in our faces, right? Okay, so maybe that's the battlefield. This was Gaza in 1944. Was. And going to the war, it's absolutely unprecedented and staggering, the humanitarian crisis, day 72. And I'm not going to go into the war. I've had enough. If you want to go into the war more, feel free to do so.
Not really into the war. Of course, you know, I hate what's going on over there. I hate that it's all propaganda. I hate all this. And I see it everywhere with all these terrible atrocities being magnified by these political figures on Twitter and here and there and whatever. I mean, everybody's a victim. The whole world's gone to hell. The bad Hamas has killed everybody. They've got tunnels. I'm just tired of the negative energy. I want to see something good happen, which the good news is what I'm seeing lately and what I've hearing lately, and I don't know, maybe it's just the channels that I'm tuned into, but I'm seeing a pretty heavy uptick in religion, and I think that's a good thing, generally. And so, you know, hopefully it's a good thing. I don't know.
Yeah, the tension is building, and something is going to break.
Oh, one thing I did want to say about that situation.
Yep.
You know, I watched a documentary this week on Iran in the early 70s, and I can't tell you how impressed I was with how westernized that society had been. And so to compare that where it was then with where it is today and ask yourself, what was this dark force that that set it back? You know, there was a lot of freedom. The young ladies looked really well-balanced and well-developed. There wasn't this whole cover your face, cover your skin, sort of religious oppression that was taking place.
Cover your whiteness next here.
I'm sorry?
Cover your whiteness next here.
Yeah. But I was, if you go to YouTube and spend a little time taking a look at Iran in the 70s, you'll see a culture of decadence and a lot that was happening that was different. And why did we turn out so different? Why did they turn out so different? All sorts of areas for reflection on that.
Yeah, that was part of the 40-page white paper that Congressman Kucinich leveraged that I wrote for the argument to impeach Bush and Cheney was the history of the 1953 CIA Operation Ajax to overthrow their democratically elected head of state. And the reason was because he was threatening to nationalize the oil fields because Iran demanded more than the 15% of the profits of their own oil that they had on their previous deal. Somehow the Iranians weren't satisfied with only 15% of the, that's the argument that the U.S. runs a lying, looting, illegal, rogue state empire. So let's go on. Okay, so this is going out into the news, the more and more that the question is no longer that the Israeli military killed Israelis. Now it is how many did he kill? Did they kill? And that heavy field artillery level damage that it would be impossible from Hamas. How many of those were killed? And here is Jimmy Dore with an excellent analysis of the history of first that it was the Israeli government official position to create and support Hamas, including delivering cash to them to keep them in existence in order to control an opposition. And then the unsaid part, which their intelligence chief, we lost that guy, says later, is that the name of the game was always to be, well, the limit of what he said is a little bit shorter than this, but the opportunity of creating a false flag through Hamas that Israel would control. And that's exactly what we see happened. and to oppose a solution that would have Palestine be independent, a two-state solution, because that is unacceptable to the psychopaths at the top. They want an excuse to be able to take everything over and then dominate it and make it their own.
Yeah, I was highly suspicious of this scenario related to Hamas and Israel on October 8th after I'd heard about what happened. The deeper I dug, the more I found ties between Israel and Hamas that made me believe that they were simply a controlled opposition party that was used to create a boogeyman, which would be used to leverage other atrocities and new atrocities that they wanted to put on the Palestinians. You know, who really owns the land, where it came from? I'm leaning more towards that the entire operation was set up prior to World War II, that this land would be taken back over, and that World War II even was, in a sense, had elements of the false flag built into it in order to create the platform of, well, Israel needs their own country. I've never seen anything else like it in history, and I've never been more convinced that the Rothschild family and the banking Khazarian mafia has been behind making sure that both sides were properly funded so that the atrocities could be magnified between the two states. I'm just convinced that the whole thing is a psychological operation on both the day-to-day, you know, your street grade Jews, as well as the rest of the world. The louder they scream that they're victims, the more I'm convinced that that they're really and truly the aggressors. And I'm not even sure how to define the Jews anymore in terms of the people of that land. Are they a religion? Are they a people group? Are they a genetic heritage? Where did they come from? Who are they really? And who are the people that have been claiming they're Jews? And the more I study the ancient mystery religions, the more I see the Kabbalah there sitting at the top of the pyramid, which is largely derived from the Talmud. And I see those old ancient mystery religions deep inside of all of it. And so I'm fairly convinced that this is not a new evil on the face of the earth, that instead it's a very, very old evil that they're trying to bring back.
And that's going to be part of the context of today, of how high that pyramid goes and what we can see to point to in analysis. Because, yeah, something evil has been able to dominate policy through three, and we're living through the third one now. And it goes back to the Masonic Pike's prediction of the necessity of three world wars. We've just been dominated by this evil. So what is up? Who's writing this script for us? Whose bitches are we? Those are legitimate questions from a professional historian. All right, next. Ah, a few more on the war. The whole world is watching the U.S. delay Security Council vote on Gaza for a third time. The whole world is watching, so we're good with this genocide. Then apartheid isn't acceptable anywhere historically, but somehow Israel's gotten away with that. I got two on COVID. Let's just jump to them and then see what we want to chat about with all of that. The COVID vaccines integrate into human DNA, study finds. Ooh, okay. Well, gee, that changes things. DNA. And we'll put that into the context as well. The code for the physical body. And that the CEO of Pfizer is the most crooked biopharma CEO ever. And if you want a documentation, so if we establish that it is altering DNA, and then you had evidence that would demonstrate that not only was this known, it may have been the whole purpose then that would be super bad. That would be, what was the title of this? I don't know. Oh, the most crooked ever. Yeah, there would be a strong argument that that would be the case. Brian, your comments, brother.
Well, that would be the true definition of genocide. And I do believe that they're trying to change humanity. I think they've been trying to change humanity for a long time. Anybody who spends some time doing some research on fluoride, the pineal gland, you know, sort of the third eye sort of movement at the spiritual side of humanity. I happen to be one that believes, because I've spent so much time in the forest, that there is sort of a sixth sense in terms of being able to, being able to tell when there's certain eyes on you, when somebody's watching you at a distance. I've been a guy who's been a big supporter of something called the ether, which is, you know, rarely a discussion that takes place.
Brother, I'll have to interrupt you for a moment. Speaking of sixth sense, below me to my left is my dog, May, who is communicating after really enjoying a nap in the car. And her mom is away today and she never gets that luxury. But she likes to nap in the car, but now she needs to go out. So I'm going to pause this and I'll be right back.
Okay.
Thank you, brother. My dog appreciates that. Please continue.
Yeah, we were mentioning the COVID vaccines messing with the DNA inside human beings. And while I think science has made some clunky attempts towards defining what humanity really is and what it isn't, and I think they've even made clunky attempts towards cloning or biological reproduction that is unnatural.
One more time.
Trying to get my head back together on that issue after a couple of things. Look, they're messing with DNA. There's no doubt about that. They're messing with what science tells us are some of the fundamental building blocks of human nature, which, you know, that's destined for disaster. Science as a study, I don't believe, has gotten us that close to understanding what makes us human, because I just haven't seen any of the scientists, quote unquote, observing and documenting what the spirit and the soul are. You know, the Bible teaches generally that the blood is sacred, that it shouldn't be touched, it shouldn't be messed with, and it shouldn't be spilled. I don't know exactly how important it is, but I take the warnings seriously related to the blood. And of course, the other part of the conversation is, you know, I'm going to be one who leans towards the idea of a spirit and or a soul. And of course, I've studied all that on a lot of different levels. And I'm convinced that there's a lot more to humanity than our biological makeup, a lot more to what we are, how we work, and how we operate. I do believe in a sixth sense. I do believe in something called the ether, which has always been an important component. I do think that there is an extra sense that we haven't been able to put our fingers on that can tune in to something happening in another realm under certain circumstances. I think there's a lot of danger and a lot of risk in that. It's also been called, you know, it's also been attributed to a part of the occult. But for those of us that try to tune into that periodically, it might be considered prayer. And I have seen things happen where I prayed and saw sort of what I believe to be instant answers. I don't know how scientific it is, but I'm convinced that prayer works. Well, the only way that could possibly work is that God simultaneously feels and understands what I'm feeling and understanding through the ether, whatever that really is. And so I'm convinced that there's just, bottom line, there's a lot more to humanity than the people that parse the blood or parse the heart or parse the brain can possibly ever tell us. I don't think we'll ever understand it.
It is deep. And one of the topics, the overviews of how many resets have been going on and what is the source of this and what is the source of the evil and the possibility that the evil source has dominion because it has extra dimensional access of power. And if you have power a dimension up, this was communicated in the 1884. I do have this. I'll talk about it now. The book called Flatland, which imagined a society of two-dimensional creatures and if a third-dimensional being came in, that would be outside of the perceptual awareness of a two-dimensional being, and you would have dominion. And that if this whatever evil is, now my dog is pausing or pawing at the door. Come on. So that would explain why evil would be in charge for a while. Because if you had a break-in of some sort of an extra-dimensional effect, there may be no counteracting it. It may be as if you or I just dropped a glass and we know it's going down and we know it's going to shatter and it shatters. And so we have to say, whoa, we have to clean it up. Maybe what we're witnessing is something as that or some sort of an experiment. But man, oh, we have a depth of evil going on here, brother.
Yeah, I think the ultimate goal is to divide humanity from its creator. And the best way to do that is to lead humanity down a false path, deeper and darker into actions and activities that would separate one theoretically even further from their creator. I definitely am one who's going to lean towards the monotheistic approach to the design of this world. I'm definitely one who's going to lead towards that monotheistic deity has built into us a moral antenna that can be obeyed or can be rejected. And I'm definitely believing that the more that we violate that moral antenna, the deeper the division goes. But I'm also a believer that there's a redemptive process. And no matter how deep the division goes, there's always the threat there that that Satan could lose what he's built in terms of separating man from God, because man might find their way back through whatever supernatural or natural means. They'd find their way back. I know it sort of sounds like a jive, but there's nothing. If Satan's goal is to separate humanity from God, he's done a great job in general with the deceptions that have laid themselves out. But the problem is Jesus died 2,000 years ago and was raised from the dead 2,000 years ago. The job is done. It just comes down to somebody accepting it to have them reconciled back into a position. Whether they fall again or not, I'm not going to deal with those theological implications. But I find it absolutely genius to see how the battle is designed to make Satan work his butt off for your soul. Whereas on the other hand, Jesus is so easy to access. It's fun. So it's just sort of my take on the way the world works.
Very good. I am going on to the Colorado Supreme Court dictates Trump's guilt. Yeah, the first, a historical context is the last time Democrats took the GOP candidate off the ballot was in 1860, and that was Abraham Lincoln. Now, just for optics, that's a horrible thing. This is an excellent summary of what's going on here, is that in the 14th Amendment, it's saying that if you were a Confederate, you can't be elected, but Congress could remove that disability to be elected by a two-thirds vote. So that was the historical context. And what the Colorado Supreme Court is declaring is that they can dictatorially, without charges, without having a trial, without having a conviction, that they can dictate guilt as an insurrectionist. Now, it doesn't matter if you want to use insurrection or terrorist, domestic extreme, whatever label that you'd want to throw at it, but they're they're now pushing for this dictatorial power in the court. And that's a big deal. And the question is will it be recognized? And for me, I can first assert that anybody who is trained in the law is going to catch that in a nanosecond. This is an unprecedented power grab. And that is why I think that what Brian was talking about, feeling the agitation, is that I'm telling you, lawyers are going to look at that and they're going to say to themselves, are they going to finally get caught? Is this what is going to break? Because that's just crazy talk that a judge can dictate that. But it was the same thing that we talked about with Jim Fetzer's trial. So, you know, maybe they will get away with it.
Well, I this is the closest I've ever seen toward as a step in the direction of George Orwell's 1984, being able to define your political opponent as an insurrectionist because you stage a false flag event and then using that as the platform to make last minute kangaroo courts step into line and try to keep him off the ticket in the primaries. They're showing their hand and they're showing it very poorly. It's funny about Trump is that, you know, he's like Teflon. Everything they throw at him makes him stronger. And the fact that the American people are seeing that they're willing to work so hard and try so hard, you know, Colorado, that's Liz Cheney territory, I believe. Or is she Wyoming? She Wyoming or Colorado?
Wyoming.
Wyoming, sorry, close.
I believe so. Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. Colorado just happened to be a court where they felt like they could apply enough pressure to these wacky liberal justices to allow them to go this far and test the waters. It redefines everything legal when your basic Black's Law Dictionary application doesn't fit anymore. They're just simply using the word insurrection without any legal context whatsoever, combined with mass media propaganda to generate a legal conclusion that keeps their opponent from being on the ticket to run against them. It's correct. It's an unprecedented power grab. It's going to backfire, and the MAGA vote gains strength day in and day out in spite of the propaganda, I'm happy to say.
Yep. It makes you wonder if who's orchestrating this show. Is this organic? Are we being shown something? There's more with this. Now that I like this is exactly what you're talking about. They've gone too far. The Colorado Supreme Court launches an actual insurrection. An insurrection is an attempt to disrupt the lawful acts of a government. And that's what they're doing by deplatforming the political opponent of the chief executive office. And this Jimmy Dore show is an excellent overview and analysis that this is just censorship. And it is a dictatorship applying censorship progressively. And it is easier to resist at the beginning than at the end. And then if you wanted to apply the legal reasoning of the Colorado Supreme Court, then the Texas lieutenant governor saying that, hey, maybe we should take Joe Biden off the ballot in Texas for allowing 8 million people to cross the border, and we'll just call him a border actionist or some shit. I mean, it doesn't matter. You call him whatever. And that's it. Now, anytime that you want to jump in, go ahead. Otherwise, I'll keep going on this for a little
while. It's good. It's fine.
Okay. So I think, as I've stated, I think that we're being shown this. And I grew up in Southern California, and I'm back in Southern California. And I have an eye for acting. And I say that this 1 minute is scripted, and the actor playing Biden just nails it with the role that he's given to play of this kind of demented, but pro dictator type wannabe emperor. But, you know, see for yourself.
Is Trump an insurrectionist, sir?
Well, I think certainly it's self-evident. You saw it all. Now, whether the 14th Amendment applies, I'll let the court make that decision. But he certainly supported an insurrection. No question about it. None. Zero. And he seems to be doubling down on about everything. Anyway, I've got to go do this.
Is Trump an insurrectionist, sir?
Well, I think certainly it's self-evident. You saw it all. Now, whether the 14th Amendment applies, I'll let the court make that decision. But he certainly supported an insurrection. No question about it. None. Zero. And he seems to be doubling down on about everything. Anyway, I've got to go do this.
Seems to be doubling down. That's priceless, huh?
Yeah, coming from a body double himself. Trump's not an insurrectionist. We all know this. It's just gaslighting, trying to convince the last of the MSNBC and CNN viewers that they're okay, they're safe from big bad Trumpism and big bad freedom. They're safe from the bad guys that are going to take over the government and stop spending money. They're safe from, you know, it's almost becoming ridiculous to be having the conversation. Everywhere I go, the conversation is empty. There's no passion about it anymore. And it's only the super brainwashed that can't see what's going on here. And I think that the left media is doing everything they can to hold on to the ones that they've got, but there's too many of them that will just simply never break, because they can't allow that to happen to their brain. It'd be too damaging for them to break loose from the television. They're brainwashed.
Part of what I really enjoyed about the delivery of those lines by that actor was the concision of the script to deliver so many tragic comic points in a brief amount of time, and to give the American public a choice of whether they want to support what they're being shown, which is some sort of degenerative, decrepit tool advocating for open dictatorship against your political opponent, after exactly what you said, engaging in a false flag to cover up election fraud. And it's all unraveling, and that's why I keep saying something's got to blow soon.
Oh, yep. Can you pause it? Can you pause it first? I'm sorry, I got a little...
Add anything else, or move on, brother?
Nah, just move on.
Okay, more on the optics of what we're seeing. This is Jim Seitz, and this is Paul Craig Roberts, The American Political Crisis. He gives an excellent overview of what you're saying that I'm observing as well, of what people are feeling, that something has got to break. And he gives an overview of election fraud in 2020. 8 years of false prosecutions.
I like Paul Craig Roberts. I try to read him at least every week. And when I've got extra time, I put into his site. On the right-hand side of his site, you'll see a really good news feed. If you can pull that RSS feed off of his site, you'll see one of the best. He does a good job with that. I like his style. You know, the one thing that he won't do is call a false flag, but he does everything short of calling it a false flag. And I think that's just a self-defense mechanism, because he has too much to lose. But I've always liked his opinion on things. I always think he's a very well-balanced writer and author. And a lot of his posts are just very short, to the point, which I think is great. I do see a lot of connection between his site and UNZ and some of the others as well. And I think you'll find a strong news feed there. And if Mr. Robert says it, I generally give it a high degree of credibility.
Yeah, nobody has everything. And I appreciate his work as well. It has a gravitas and a punch to it. And he does hit hard on some topics, and you know, others he misses, but probably true with most of us. So he goes on and he reminds us of the major corporations have been apparently purchased and were being pushed upon with critical race theory and transgenderism, and that the Congress are irresponsive and not representative to the voters. And he goes on, and this is an excellent overview if you want to get deep down into it, of how bad it is that what we got, 62% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck, and the bottom of the economic food chain is already collapsing. Yeah, this continues. Yeah,
that there is a time bomb. That's the big time bomb that you've got to watch. We're seeing a lot of time bombs related to the housing crisis right now. We're seeing a lot of time bombs related to the credit crunch. I think I've seen that car loan defaults have spiked over 1% in 1 month. It's a good thing gas prices are where they're at. I tell you, when I'm at the grocery store and I see people in line in front of me, you can tell that they're carefully counting their beans in terms of getting through the lines, with grocery prices being where it's at. I know that from a housing perspective, well, in this area, it's just about full occupancy. Very hard to find something because we live in one of the better school districts in Texas. But I'm beginning to see pain all over the place, especially in your small localized governments, where they're just simply not getting a big enough piece of the action from the states, which get a big piece of the action from the feds. So they've got to find other ways to create revenue. So they're writing more tickets, which adds even more stress in their small towns. We're starting to see more and more laws and rules that are applied to people that hadn't been applied before. For instance, in Texas, we've had a law go through, whereas if you get three or four tickets, then you get another ticket and have your license suspended within a certain period of time. There's all sorts of things happening. While at the same time, people are beginning to realize, especially people on welfare, beginning to realize that all these border crossers, these illegal border crossers, are being given between $3,000 and $5,000 a month from this federal budget, which is passing through Texas to come into the town, to come into the states, not to mention the fact that there's all these NGOs that are pulling massive chunks of this, of our Homeland Security budget to operate these shelters. So not only do these people have $3,000 to $5,000 a month and free flights and free buses to whatever city they want, the average American citizen that, say, is retired or living at home on a budget can't continue to afford the prices of their fuel, their electric bills, which are spiking and skyrocketing. If you're not in a newly built, super efficient house, you can have an electric bill anywhere from, $300 to $500 to $700 a month, on top of the fact that food prices are going up. So I'm putting a lot of time into the garden this year. I'm going to give it my best shot ever in terms of how sufficient can I possibly be. I'm going to try to pump more of my own water, and I'm going to try to cut down on my electricity usage. That's why I had to step off camera for a few minutes, was to talk to a contractor about tightening this place up in terms of electricity usage. But it's getting a little bit ugly out there, and I wouldn't be surprised. Maybe that explains the sort of schizophrenic mindset that I'm seeing developing in society lately, with all the phone calls from people that are just simply hallucinating, early stage schizophrenia. I think it might just be the economy and the stress, because nobody seems happy right now. Everybody's mad.
No, the empire needs a relatively happy slave society, and we're not happy. And I think that is by design. What I don't know is when and where something is going to break through in this emperor's new clothes moment. Maybe this is going to be a big deal. Hundreds of Epstein associates named in damning drop. Panic erupts. That might come out shortly after the new year.
It's going to be a news fest. They're not. They've been protecting this information since the beginning of time. They're not going to let us know anything we don't already know. There's not going to be any perp walks that we're not ready to, that they're not ready to allow. Epstein names, and that's all going to be a snooze fest. There's nothing that's going to happen on that makes me think that society is going to do an overhaul and take out the pedophiles. These people are too powerful. The machine is running on all of its cylinders. There's nothing that can stop that particular machine until we have a Department of Justice that's completely overhauled.
From all of the history that we've seen, yes, that is true. And hence my
I
ongoing
see your point.
analysis is that we need some sort of a breakthrough, which would be unpredictable and unimaginable. And the question is always, who is in charge? And if the black hats are in charge, then all we're going to be is they're just playing with their food. They're toying with us yet again. And we're going to be Great Reset yet again when they dictate, bitch, and not before. And they're so in control that we'll let some of the little slaves have their little channel, and we'll show it to our kids so that they know what they're up against in the future. If it's that type of domination, then all you got to do is say, "Wow, you guys are too good. You're next dimensional. You're out of our league," which will tie into the context of the who's in charge thing.
Oh, I got. I seriously, I gotta confront you on this. I gotta just simply ask it square. Okay. How and when do you see it going down? Because I see no indications that society's even ready to adopt anything like a mass prosecution of these people. How do you see it happening?
Okay, now here is the elegant simplicity of the answer, brother. As a technical person, I'm telling you that the term is a breakthrough. And it's exactly how you're saying is you're saying, okay, I hear you, Carl, but how is it going to happen? Well, that's the whole thing. It's going to be unpredictable. But when it happens, it very likely will be what we call a black swan event, where people will say, oh, yeah, I kind of saw that coming. But before we get that breakthrough, I'm with you. And that's why I included Paul Craig Roberts' article, because it really does a great job of describing how bad it really is. And, he does pull his punches, because, you could go into the that it's pedophores that we're facing at the bottom of this. So,
Well, so I'm guessing you're talking about a blackout. I mean, you said black swan event. I'm guessing it's going to have to be a complete informational blackout. It's a shutdown for a period of time while these guys reset this thing behind the scenes. I can't see it happening any other way.
yeah, it would be scary. And if the black hats are in charge, we'll be starved out. The cities will starve out. If the white hats are in charge, we'll find out about it soon enough. Whatever is going to be happening, it seems to be that we are very close to that end game pop.
Well, it's gonna last at least 2 weeks. I mean, I can't see it lasting any less than that to root out all these guys from these underground bunkers. I mean, it's gonna take them forever to send guys in there with guns to try to pull these guys out.
Yeah, it may be. We have no idea. We have no idea about how even to access that type of knowledge. But we do have this interesting testimony. The Oath Keepers founder says that some of the J6 prisoners are sentimental institutions to keep them from talking, like the old Soviet Union. Now, this is Noelle Florio. Was a public school teacher in New York, in Long Island, and she and I communicated, and she had been interviewed by Jim about a year ago. So, I've documented how I challenged my Hayward Unified School District's health orders as a teacher there in the 2 years of their tragic comic refusals to answer basic and required questions, their lies and lies to the face of students, and all that is documented. But she, when she challenged the forced experimental use products like a mask or social distancing or a test or a experimental shot, and she did so for religious grounds that her body is sacred, and she's not going to put a mask over her necessity of breath. So they called
She
her
went.
crazy. Yeah, they called her, literally called her crazy, and forced her to go through psychological evaluations. And eventually they found her officially nuts And now that is hung over her and her inability to get work despite her stellar history as a teacher. So yeah, calling people crazy. And then, you know, as I mentioned sometime, I don't know when, if you take a look at these 19th century huge mental asylums that were constructed in America, at least in the official narrative, these huge campus-like buildings, and we just gloss over them like asylum for the mentally ill. Was that in the last reset? That where they threw the dissenters? Makes you think.
I don't know, but I can tell you what, there's lots of schizophrenics out there right now walking on the streets, voices talking to them all over the place. There's a lot of mental illness right now. A lot of it.
All right. Moving on. Oh, so this is the last part. And the question is who is in charge and what is this evil that we're facing? And I like these people and their analysis, and I'll try to summarize the argument, is they are saying that the fallen angels, the Elohim of the Old Testament, are at the source of the evil that we experience, and they have fallen similar to, I put Flatland here, the extra-dimensional power explained in this 1884 novel of Flatland, that if an extra-dimensional being wanted to wreak havoc over a lower dimension, the lower dimension would be just subject to the power of that. And the perhaps history of Earth is being colonized and maybe even genetically altered by these beings, and that this history as well includes giants. And that perhaps that some of these cultures that were reset were through a great flood, and that some of these cultures that were reset had an appreciation of frequency and architecture that seems to be that some greater, more refined being than this set of human beings existed. And we had talked about this on previous shows, that the official story for some of these things, like World's Fairs, like 1893 in Chicago, 1904 in St. Louis, have physically impossible official timelines, like, oh yeah, within just a little more than 2 years, they declared that they were going to do this. They did all the architectural plans. They excavated, they plumbed it, they wired it, they built these magnificent campuses, and for a World's Fair. So, Brian, your thoughts, brother?
Okay. I don't mind going into the conversation. And generally, people from our audience know that, you know, when I was brought into this, it was more of a false flag analysis sort of guy, but I've been put into a position where I've morphed into more of a community current events commentator. Now, I don't consider myself to be well read enough to be really smart in these particular areas. But one thing that I do have that most of our audience probably doesn't have is I spent 6 years at Moody Institute in Chicago studying these things. And I can tell you that one of my old professors brought into class a 15-pound spearhead that he had managed to get a hold of. And I'm not sure I think it was a replica, but he had pictures of the original over in the Middle East. Now, we sat in class for a day or two and tried to figure out the size and the dimensions of a guy that could throw a spearhead of this magnitude. And we basically concluded that the Bible was correct, that at some point in time, there were giants in the land, which is great. Now, you're asking me to analyze what's called pre-diluvian history. And I can tell you that the only documents that I would rely on for pre-Diluvian history would be anything that originated from the same time as the Bible writers themselves. Moses is generally agreed to have been the author of Genesis by special revelation, therefore Genesis 1 through 11, which is your antediluvian period, is generally given to him. Now Jesus quoted from Moses, so when Jesus comes along, you've got to, that's the pivotal question: is he who he claims he is, who he's claiming to be? Because he's claiming to be God, and he's claiming to have been present, and he's claiming to be in coordination with Moses and the others. As a matter of fact, there's a transfiguration on the mount where he actually meets with what's described as Moses himself, as well as Elijah, I believe. So if Jesus said it, I give it a lot of credibility. If the early witnesses of Jesus said it, I give them a lot of credibility. But if Jesus quoted from it, and he quoted from Genesis through all the rest of the books, he didn't quote from every single one of them, but he basically claimed authenticity by saying from Abel to Zechariah, and it's not just A to Z, that's what it is in English, but from Abel, the first prophet persecuted, to Zechariah, the last, he validated the scriptures in a sense. So that said, I believe there was an antediluvian civilization. I don't think it needed to be more than 6 to 10,000 years old in order for them to achieve the type of things that we've seen archaeologically. But I'm not necessarily going to stick hard and fast to the 6,000 year rule, which is 2,000 post-Christ, 4,000 pre-Christ, which is what can be recorded and understood biblically. And there's a reason that I have this, because we have genealogies, and the important part of genealogies in the Bible is to tell us that these are indeed real people who lived real lives, and they can be traced down to their real heirs, their real sons, and real people. They're real. And Jesus quoted from the genealogies. He even validated the genealogies, and he spoke about Adam's sin on occasion as well, as if the story was correct. So based on his authority, I'm going to weight that very heavily. Now, that said, I wouldn't have known anything about other civilizations or sunken civilizations, or where did the pyramids come from, or where, unless it had been taught to me or shown to me somewhere in my limited 50-year history. And in the 50 years I've been around, I didn't start discovering these things that were to originate from what we would call Tartaria until the last couple of years, where I've looked into it. And yeah, I believe those people figured out how to use the ether. They figured out how to get the energy from the air, and they figured out how to do it differently than we did. But you've got to remember that those antediluvian people theoretically live lives between 400 and 600 and 800 years. And what was the environment like pre-flood? Was it a big hyperbaric chamber where everything just simply grew at a massive rate, and the second law of thermodynamics didn't kick in like it did now? Was there some sort of canopy of over the earth that blocked them from the breaking from the sun's UV light that would break it down? What was the nature of it? And I can tell you, living 600 to 800 years in a different type of scenario, maybe a higher pressure scenario environment with more water, you know, there's all sorts of things. It could have grown massive trees the size of what we would consider to be mountains. It could have inspired all sorts of mind activity that we couldn't even possibly fathom today that would allow these civilizations to exist. And why would God come along and say, hey, I've had enough, and flood it all out? I mean, I can see it. He's God. He said, I've had enough. I've had enough. People trying to build pagan towers to the sky to be able to go up and raise up a new sun. The things that they were doing back there that caused God to say, I'm flooding it out. That was God's prerogative. This was his world. Now, fortunately, he saved people, brought us through, and gave us another side and a new beginning. And I, you know, that's all I can say is I'm part of the new beginning. So there's my rant.
That was great, brother. Thank you. We'll go to closing thoughts. And for me, this is the last post of Q. And how do you protect your DNA? This is the last thing Q posted. There is a war for your DNA. Protect your DNA. Ascension. Now, I want to frame this is that my working conclusion about what we're looking at is that whatever the evil is that took control, and from what at least we're shown, has control over every major agency, and this can be well demonstrated. Just go to my website to any of these news shows and start reading, and the whole picture is laid out. So we've been somehow dominated, and whatever dominated us seems to be hyper intelligent relative to the dominated species. So this pyramid, how far up does it go? And if you take a look, as from my background as a teacher of history, I've seen a lot of shit. And so advanced ancient civilizations demonstrated by 2,000 ton building blocks. Okay, so they had technology and somehow they got wiped out. Huh, wonder what caused that. Ooh, evidence of the Great Flood and an impact crater. Graham Hancock's work. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. So, ooh, I wonder how many times that has happened and how long this evil has been in charge and where do they come from? And these are all good questions, the answers to which we can speculate about, and it's fun to speculate about that. But we need to have this breakthrough before we can actually get to the truth. The evil at least has to be recognized by the public as Orwellian and criminals. And there needs to be a Emperor's New Clothes breakthrough for that to happen. Once that does happen, then we're going to get both the true history and the suppressed technology. And it'll be a whole new ballgame for what's available. So until that breakthrough, patriots, just stay strong and stay with truth. Brother, your closing thoughts.
Well, my closing thoughts. Okay, so one of the big questions that always rises in this discussion is the angels versus the demons. There was a word, Elohim, let us make man in our image. It is properly translated that way. Now, some people say it's the Trinity. Some people say it included the angels. Some people, it's all religions sort of interpret it differently. I can tell you that from a really high overview perspective, the chief aim of the existence of the universe, or why is there something rather than nothing, is to answer the question, should God be glorified? And I know that seems like a long stretch to get there, but why create it if there's nothing to be gained? Well, what's to be gained? I mean, it's not like God's lacking anything. So what is to be gained? It's he has it all. Jesus said that everything that has been created was created by him. So what's to be gained? Well, if I'm reading the Bible correctly, it was his good pleasure that chose to create all of this to gain a righteous, holy self-glorification. In other words, to show all of creation that he is indeed good, and therefore allowing the fall of man and one third of the angels to take place sort of created that antichrist or anti-God spirit in humanity, which allowed a test to be run. And the test environment was going to be one where we felt like we had freedom of thought, freedom of will, freedom of desire, and that we were tempted, and we had that there would be tests that had to take place. One of Satan's main roles, once you study him and you break it down, is he's almost like a prosecutor, constantly making the accusation that God shouldn't be worshipped. constantly making the accusation that the only reason that his servant Job was being good to him was that he had been giving him a good life, constantly making accusations in front of the remaining angels, in front of the remaining evaluators. And so the fact that that prosecutor, as you will, exists tells me that God's sort of letting the evidence speak for itself after he's allowed it into motion. So I see this through the lens of scripture that way. And I think that that there's going to be great glory in seeing that he let people go have their own choice, and he let sin fall into the world so that people would recognize who God really is and that he really is good and holy and righteous. And there's glory in that. And the farther mankind has fallen and the farther the demons have fallen, the farther the worse things have gotten, the better he'll prove to be in the long run. And that's just kind of, look, there's probably theologians out there that would call me a heretic and hang me, you know, 200 years ago for saying what I just said. I don't know. It's my instinct. And I'm not going to tell you it's straight from the Bible, because if I'm going to tell you it's straight from the Bible, then I'm going to pull it out and start quoting it and make the case. But in general, this is the way, this is the lens through which I see the world. And I think it's going to, I think it's good. I can sleep with it.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, Patriots. Monday is Christmas. We'll be off. We'll be back on next Wednesday for more of the news that you need to know.